the minions of chaos, right? They're tired, they're hungry, it's crazy, but I'm like, I'm going for it anyways. The room needs to be clean. And so they take off, and I come back a few minutes later, and I come to check on them, and is their room clean? No, right? In fact, it's more of a mess than it was before. My younger son somehow ended up being naked. I don't know how that happened. And my older son had dumped out his entire bin of Legos because he wanted to build a secret laser transmission car, which is what he said, that he was so excited to show Daddy when I came back in. He goes, Daddy, check out my car. And I have to be clear, I love my son's imagination. Did I love my son's imagination in that moment? Not exactly, because what was I asking them to do? Go clean your room. Did they clean their room? No, they weren't cleaning their room. So I said, like a parent, I said, what in the world? Why didn't you clean your room? To which my older son quickly responded, oh yeah, Daddy, I forgot. Yes, right, you forgot. Let me be clear. My children, it's not an issue of their memory that caused them not to clean their room. No, it was an issue of their priorities. For them, in that moment, cleaning their room wasn't really at the top of their priority list. And today, as we're going to be looking today, you're going to be seeing that I'm going to plop a question right in your lap that you're going to have to sit with, you're going to have to dwell and deal with today as we're looking at James. And that question is the Word of God a priority in your life? Now, in the way that I, as a parent, need to motivate my children's priorities sometimes, and I could do that either through rewards like, hey, son, if you clean your room in 5 minutes, we can have blank, right? Or you could take the opposite route, the consequence route. Boys, you need to clean your room in 5 minutes or blank, right? You have these two options. And I know that all of you are wonderful parents and you never choose the consequence. It's always just rewards and love, always. But those are two forms of motivation of the priorities. And in the same way, we will begin to see that there is a clear reward for those that obey the Word of God, and there's a clear consequence for those that don't. Today, James is going to be drawing a line right in the sand, distinguishing the type of hearer that is blessed and the type of hearer that is not. And you need to decide which side you're going to be on. But I can tell you, you can be blessed. You can be the hearer that is blessed if you respond to the Word of God in three ways, okay? You hear it, hold it, and heed it. You hear the Word of God, you hold on to the Word of God, and then you heed the Word of God. This is the route to blessing. And I believe, because I have been praying in faith, and I have had others be praying in faith, that today is going to be a powerful day for some of you. I believe that you're going to experience beautiful and radical transformation from the Word of God today. And I believe that there are those of you that are sitting in this room right now that your act of obedience is going to be finally, for the first time, surrendering your life to Jesus. To laying it down, to setting it aside, to not trying to do it on your own anymore, but realizing, I need you, Jesus. Salvation is here, and his name is Jesus. Amen? So let's get started, right? Let's dive in. Who's with me? No. I said, who's with me? Yes. Let's go. James 1, we're going to be starting at verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Would you guys bow your heads with me as I pray for today? God, you have transformed my life. You've set me on a new path. You've shown me the abundant life, God. Thank you for that. Thank you for calling me out and putting me on purpose. God, I thank you for the rest of us that have experienced that today. God, I pray that we would come after you with reckless abandon. God, I pray that we would long to be changed by your word. I pray that your word would just soak into every part of us, Jesus, and that we would respond to it. I pray that obedience to your word would be a priority in our lives. Holy Spirit, fill this room right now and do a mighty work of transformation through your word. We lift these things up in your name. Amen. All right. Most of us here, not all of us, most of us here have had the gospel or the good news of Jesus communicated to us at some point in our life. So that could have been maybe a parent that did that. It could have been a church service, could have been a friend, it could have been a promise keeper, it could have been a guy at 7-Eleven. It doesn't matter where it came from, but most of us have had the gospel communicated to us. And the first step that we ought to take if we want to be blessed and respond to the word of God is we need to hear it. Now, some of you might be going, well, that doesn't make sense. Of course I heard it. Like, I heard it, yeah, I heard it, it came over to me, and what are you talking about, Jordan? Au contraire, you can have things communicated at you. You can have noise come at you, but you can choose not to hear it. Or you can let your situation distract you from hearing it. Let's be honest. How many of you guys have ever been caught totally zoning out? In a class, and you know, in a meeting, at a church service, right? Just totally zoning out, and you're hearing the Charlie Brown voice, you know, wah, 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 the teacher, wah, wah, and we're zoning out. We're not hearing, we're not receiving what is being communicated to us. About 11 years ago, I went up north to the Sacramento area to go visit my then girlfriend's parents' house. Not, that was my wife. And I knew that the reason I was going up there was I was going to ask for her hand in marriage. I was going to seek the blessing from her father. And I knew I was going to do that. I didn't know how or when or what was going to happen. But I'm sitting there, and it was like the third day. And he's like, I'm going to the grocery store. And I'm like, this is it. I'm in. I'll come with you. And so I jump in the car with him, and we're beginning to drive to the grocery store. And man, just it's all welling up. My heart is beating. And I begin to pour out my soul about how much I just loved his daughter and how I want to take my cues from Jesus, and I'm going to provide for her and care for her, and I wanted to see if I could have your blessing to ask for her hand in marriage. Big pause. Probably was like 3 seconds, but it felt like 3 days. Felt forever, right? Big pause. He's kind of looking out into the distance. His response. I don't know why they're putting in a sidewalk right here. I mean, it's really not needed. I'm sorry, what were you saying? Are you serious right now? Like, I mean, what? I had to say the whole thing over again. And I'm like, it wasn't as heartfelt. And I'm just like, well, and he's like, oh yeah, that sounds great, good. So it was like, okay. And I still, to this day, I don't know if he actually did hear me and he was just messing with me or if he really didn't hear me. But Kirk, I know you're going to be watching this. I love you. I love being your son-in-law. It's great. But the point of the matter is you could choose not to hear. Things communicated at you may not be received. You see, we need to open up our ears to receive what the word is communicating to us. That's why Jesus says so many different times, he who has ears, let him hear. This is a life-changing message. Receive it, hear it. James will say in verse 21, he'll say, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. The first step, hear it. But it doesn't stop there. You see, hearing is not enough. It continues on. 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. I'm going to pause for a sec. That word deceive is the word paralogizimai. Okay, it comes from the word para, which means alongside or beside, and logizimai, which is to reason or to count. It literally means to reason beside the point, to misjudge, to miscalculate, to cheat in reckoning. I like to refer to this little situation, I like to refer to this as a spiritual miscalculation. Church, if you think that just sitting in this place and listening to a message or playing podcasts at home is going to make you a spiritually mature believer, you are making a huge spiritual miscalculation. We, Crossline, are blessed. We have some of the most phenomenal teachers in Orange County at our church that bring the word of God. But there is a danger in that too, because we can walk out of this place thinking that simply listening and hearing will automatically result in spiritual growth. It's wrong. You see, hearing is so important. It's an essential part of what we do, but it needs to be matched by the completion of holding onto it and then heeding what it says. This is what we're being called to today from the word. As you'll see, it goes on, James 22, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. It's a wild but really powerful illustration that James is using here, right? Mirrors, I have one here. Mirrors will reveal things. That's their purpose. Their function is to reveal things within us or reveal things out in the world. And the beautiful thing about a mirror, and maybe sometimes the terrifying thing about a mirror, right, is that it can't lie. It's completely honest. It speaks the truth and only the truth. Now, your choice to accept that truth or not is on you. But it will speak the truth. And many times we look in mirrors and it will reveal things within us that require attention. You know, you look in the mirror and you go, oh, man, I got to fix my hair. I got to wipe off that dirt. I got to pop that zit. I got to shave that beard. I got to trim my nose hairs. I got to floss my teeth, whatever it might be. We see all these things. We got to respond to it. I'm guessing most of you looked in a mirror this morning as you were getting ready and you saw things that needed attention, right? It should bring action within us. Or if you can take it even deeper, for me, a mirror is very important because with skin like mine and my love of the sun, I need to be looking into the mirror to see what cancerous spots may be on me, things that are threatening my life. And if I see it, I got to take care of that. I need to give attention to that. Or what about the mirrors in your car, the side view mirrors, the rear view mirror? You see, mirrors can also reveal the looming dangers that are beside us, the things that are in our world that we don't see ourselves. Pastor Kenny, 2 weeks ago, he shared this verse that I'm going to repeat right now because it's so powerful. It's Hebrews 4:12. It says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing even soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. You see, the word of God opens us up and reveals what needs attention in our lives. And we need to take that and we need to hold on to that. If I was to see things that needed attention, if cancerous spots on me and I was to immediately forget those things, that not only wouldn't be foolish and ridiculous, but it'd be dangerous. We need to retain it. It's the difference between if I had a rock and I had a sponge, right? And I took the rock and I dunked it in the water. And I left it in the water and it's sitting in there. If I take that rock out, Really nothing has changed. Just still a rock. If I take a sponge and I dunk it in the water and I let it sit there, you'll see that the water begins to flood into all the parts of the sponge. It begins to penetrate all the parts of the sponge so that when I take the sponge out, it's retaining the water. It's different. It's changed in that moment. Holy Spirit, flood into all the parts of me and inundate me with your truth so that I may be transformed. My prayer for you, Crossline, for us, is that these messages, the word of God, wouldn't go in one ear and out the other ear. But today you'd make a choice to course correct so that it would come in your ear and it would go down into your heart and soul and it would be held there. And it would bring transformation. But Crossline, I don't think it's a memory problem that we struggle with. I don't think it's an issue of poor memory. I think it's an issue of poor priorities. We may look deeply into the mirror of the Word of God and we may begin to see things in us, but we just don't regard it as very important. Because come on, I got a career to pursue. My kids got to make varsity this year. I got to take care of this. You know, I got these things going on. Yes, this whole God and Jesus and all of the biblical doctrines, that's all good and nice and I appreciate it, but it's really not that important to me when I compare it to everything else. We immediately forget the sin that's being revealed in our life because we're distracted and our priorities are in the wrong place. So we go back to the original question. Is obedience to God's word a priority in your life? And then there's a final and perhaps most essential part of our response to God's word. We need to heed it. We need to do it. You see, the word of God is held in our hearts is a catalyst for action. It's held there and it builds out and it causes us to move. You know, look at the picture of like a steam locomotive. You shovel coal into the heart of the engine of a steam locomotive and the fire is ignited and it fuels the engine forward. In the same way, the word of God ought to be thrown into the heart of our engine and allow the Holy Spirit fire to ignite it and drive us forward in action. It changes us. So the invitation is, man, throw that lever forward and fire up the engines and let the word of God take you to places that you never even thought possible. We heed it. James 1:25 goes on and it says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. He will be what? Yes, blessed in what he does. The true believer will not just be satisfied with knowing the word. No, the Holy Spirit will continue to draw him forward. I love this word. It talks about looking intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. It's the word perikoupto. It means to stoop and with body and head bent to look into it. It's the difference between me just kind of glancing and me really getting in there to look and to see what's within me. It's a sign of desire. It's a sign of yearning to see. It's reflective of the prayer of David that I prayed so many times in the quiet places. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. By looking intently into the word of God, we're inviting impression to become expression. Because expression is the thing that will cause the word planted in us to take root, to put roots down, because doing makes it stick. It's the same reason that firemen will do ride-alongs, why doctors will do residency, and why athletes will run drills. It's you can't just know the playbook and think you're all hunky-dory. No, knowing the playbook does not make you a good athlete and does not help your team win. No, you got to get out on the field and run the plays. There's this invitation to action. And James will even go on even further. And I can take it there because he takes it there and saying, impression without expression is transgression. James will say in 4:17, he'll say, he who knows the good he ought to do but doesn't do it sins. It's a heavy word. Now I'm going to pause at this point in the message because this is kind of the moment in the message where some of you are sitting in your seats and you're getting kind of antsy and you're like, I don't know about this new guy. Sounds like he's talking a lot about like works and works-based salvation and I got to do all this stuff. I'm a grace person. Hey, I'm a grace person all day long. I'll tell you, there is no greater gift than grace. But you have to look at what James is bringing to us. If you're going to get fussy, don't get fussy with me. Get fussy with James. And if you're going to get fussy with James, you're going to have to kind of get fussy with a few other guys in the scriptures, right? I put some verses up on the screen from a few other guys that you may know, starting with Jesus. He says in Luke 11:28, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. And he also says in John 13:17, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Paul will say in Romans 2:13, he said, it's not the hearers of the law that are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. And then you have John, who doesn't mince words at all. He says, by this we know we have come to know him, if we keep his commands. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Obedience is an essential and irremovable part of followership. But praise God for grace. You see, grace fills in when we can't do it. When we fall short of obedience, grace is there. Grace covers us. Grace is the great enabler of us to pursue obedience. It's only because of grace that we can come after Jesus and continue to try to put those things into practice in our life. Grace works because grace works. So what am I trying to really say? Like, what's the whole point of all this? Just do it. The name of our series, Just Do It. That's what we're being invited into. To quote the wise theologian, Shia LaBeouf, he says, don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday you said tomorrow, so just do it. There's like a few of you that understood that reference and a few that you didn't understand. Just Google it later. Just do it, Shia LaBeouf. It's great stuff. No, you see, Vance Havner is an evangelist, and he said something that I love. He says, what we need is an outbreak of holy heartburn. When hearers shall be doers, when congregations shall go out from meetings and do things for God. Let us, Crossline, be the type of church that's marked by turning everything we hear, everything we read, and turning it into action. Literally, I want you to look in the Word, find something that you can do, and then go do it. Go into the Word going, God, show me something I could do right now. I could do right now. And then live it out. And then go back. And then live it out. Take literal action to practice the word of God. And then you have the promise. We all read it together. You said it out loud. The promise right there in 25. He will be blessed in what he does. He blessed in what he does. Is obedience to God's word a priority in your life? So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? In a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity. As a song is going to be played, you're going to have an opportunity to sit and pray and think and dwell on all of these things that are being coming at you today. You're going to have to dwell with that question that's in your lap right now. Is obedience to God's word a priority in my life? Because I know how it is. I know that, you know, you may be moved and inspired in these services, but then you go out that door and then all of a sudden it's like, well, I got to get a donut. I got to get that or I got to get to the game today, or man, the weather has changed drastically, or my kid has peed his pants. Well, maybe that was just for me. It flutters away. And so I want to give you the opportunity to dwell in it today, here, now, as a song is played. And maybe the action of obedience is responding to what JP talked about the first week of the James study, to count it joy when you face trials of many kinds. Or maybe it's responding to what Kenny talked about 2 weeks ago, and that you need to go back and you need to read that and you need to stop giving into the temptations that you keep falling into. Maybe it's tithing. Maybe you've never actually been intentional about tithing. You've never actually looked at your finances and said, this is what I want to give. Maybe it's loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you. I bet you all can think right now of somebody that you would say is persecuting you. Maybe a boss, friend, a family member. How can you pray for them right now? Not praying wrath on them, but truly praying blessing on them. Maybe it's teaching and impressing the word of God on your children. I tell you something, not to make me look like a great parent, but to share something that I've been doing. You know, with my children, we've been memorizing a Bible verse for every letter of the alphabet. I do one a week. It's not hard. But in half a year, my kids, 6 and 4, will have more of the word of God in their hearts and in their minds than the vast majority of this world. Maybe it's loving your spouse, forgiving them as Christ forgave you. What are you going to do? And as I said before, I believe that there are some of you here today that are sitting in your seats and you're feeling it right now in your gut, that your act of obedience, the thing that you're being called to do, is to respond to the invitation to freedom that Jesus is holding out. The relationship that he so desires with you, you're finally at the place where you need to set it aside and say, yes, Jesus, I need you. Don't suppress it. Don't hold it down. Respond. I'm going to invite the band up and I'm going to pray for your time. You'll see that you have cards on your seat that to say, what am I going to do? Maybe write down, what is it that you're going to do moving out of this place? Let me pray for us. Search me and know me, O God. Know my heart, know my thoughts. Reveal any shameful way in me, God, because I want to be your follower. I want to be an agent of change, God. That is the desire of my heart. I want to see the things that I can't see myself. I want to respond in obedience. I don't want to just be a hearer, God. I want to be a doer. I want to be one that is coming after you with everything that I am. And I pray that for my church too. I pray that we sitting here would have that same desire. God, and I pray for those people that are sitting in their seats right now that have never said yes to following you. And they're trying to hold it down right now. They're trying to resist it. But God, speak love into their life. Speak the promises into their life. Know what great joy comes from saying yes. From simply saying to you, Jesus, God, I surrender who I am. I can't do this on my own anymore. I need your help, God. Jesus, fill my life. I give my life to you. Plant your word in me and change me. God, be glorified in this place. May we walk out of this place different than when we came in. Your will be done. Your kingdom come in my life, in my church's life, in my city's life, and in this world. Your kingdom come. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.